David J. Fleming, welcome to the Bookshelf Conversations.
Thanks for having me.
So your new book, Baseball Obscura, inevitably there are going to be comparisons to Bill James abstracts. You have written for the Bill James website. How do you feel about those comparisons? Do you feel they're justified? They're not justified? What are the similarities and differences?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think, in this book, I tried to, in the introduction, I tried to sort of address that subject a little more on the head than in the past. I'm really, Bill's, I count him as a, a friend, and I owe a great debt to him in a lot of ways. I think he has sort of two modes of genius. Like, his books were, his abstracts in the 80s were fantastic in bringing the statistical stuff to the fore of the public discourse. But he's also a fantastic writer. Like, I just think he's an utterly engaging writer, and I'm not trying to replicate that sort of analytic mind. Like, I'm not quite that. I'm not as motivated or as fluent in that space as Bill was, and I think it's a space that other people are really in the vanguard of. And so for me, the motivation for this book is one, to just sort of tell the story of the moment. Like, I think that's a motivation for me, is just sort of capture where the Dodgers sitting, where are the Royals sitting right now, where are the Tigers sitting, capture an in situ experience of where baseball is, and do it in a conversational way, and in a sort of long form way. And so one of the things that, like, is propelling my interest in this is that, like, I've kind of wanted this. Like, I think, in my own life, I'm on my phone too much. I'm reading media that is sort of short form, that is kind of a little bit more immediate. And I kind of want, I wanted something that was a little bit like, just, could sit there and fall into it and fall out of it. And because nobody else was writing it, I was like, ah, maybe I'll take a shot at giving it a try. But I'm definitely using Bill's model in a lot of ways, trying to start it up on my own, and trying to build an audience for it is definitely also borrowed from his playbook. And so I recognize that debt, and I'm grateful for it.
So certainly the similarities are, excuse me, you have your introductory section is a few essays about the state of the game, a recap of last year. Then you go into team discussions, and then you have player analyses. And one of the similarities I noticed and appreciate is you interject humor into your writing. It's not just the straight, here are the facts, man, type of thing. You said that the book like this has been absent for a long time since he stopped doing the abstracts. He did move on to other books, but they didn't quite have the same grab as his earlier work. One of the things I've noticed, I've been collecting baseball magazines ever since I was a kid, and with the advent of the internet, these have kind of gone by the wayside. There, it's very difficult to find anything, which is understandable because the internet offers you up to the minute stories. When these publications come out, these annuals, and your book you consider an annual, when they come back, by the time it lands in the hands of the audience, some of the stuff isn't valid anymore. Like I'm imagining. No, I'm not imagining. Your book doesn't account for the Bichette deal and the Tucker deal, and that changes a lot of what you might have to say about the Dodgers and the Mets and the teams that lost these players as well.
I mean, and it's kind of funny, 'cause I was like, I'm kind of glad in a weird way that they signed with the Mets and the Dodgers, because, like, it changes it less. You're like, oh, the Dodgers got Tucker. Well, they're going to be the Dodgers. Like, if he had signed with the Reds, I would have been like, oh, shoot, that essay is terrible. But, Tucker joining, oh, the Mets got Bichette. Well, okay. Well, they're the Mets now. They're still. So, but yeah, it is a challenge. And this year was a particular challenge, because I tried to get out a little earlier just to see what that felt like. Every year, you're experimenting with different things. And so this year I was like, how, what will it feel like to get it out early in case, that's a draw for, if I get an agent or publishers down the road, like, hey, I can get it written by January 1st. I can get it out into the world by January 1st. But it is always the sort of this question of, how long do you want to wait before you publish it so that you can wait for those free agent things? So it's an annual debate. I hope that there's still enough resonance in the team essays that it's valuable to read about what I think about the Mets before they signed Bo Bichette, even though his signing changes things. But it's a challenge. But I do, I'm a sort of a collector of those old magazines as well, because I just think they're these wonderful these snapshots of the moment. Like, I have this, I remember there's this great 1975 Sports Illustrated that had Mike Schmidt on the cover, and the article was about Mike Schmidt and Dave Kingman at the start of their careers, and these two big home run hitters. And it's this great article that, like, Mike Schmidt's talking about all the things he's not very good at, and Dave Kingman's talking about how great he is as a home run hitter. You're like, ah, this, like this, like you see, you read that, in light of their whole careers, and you're like, I understand, this reveals why Mike Schmidt was going to be great and why Dave Kingman was not going to be great. Was, Mike Schmidt is constantly being like, why can't I hit 300? Why am I not a good defensive player? And Dave Kingman's like, man, I hit the bombs. I don't care. And, their careers played out, with those mindsets driving them. So I love those snapshots too. And so, I hope, even if this book is, it doesn't capture, if I've totally missed on the, the Guardians of the Reds or something, it's still capturing, some element of where they those teams or the players are.
One of the things I appreciate about those magazines is I go back and look at them, like for the total picture, the cultural aspects of it. I look at the advertisements that are
Yeah,
in there,
the cigarette
and it's a
ads,
real hue, the cigarette, the beer, the fashions
cigarette
of the
whiskey.
day.
Yeah.
It's quite quite for someone of my age, who remembers those times. It would be
Yep.
different than like if my daughter were to go through it and see like, this is how they dressed in those days. Yeah, that's how they dressed in those days.
Yeah.
The challenge is these are self-published books, correct?
Yes.
Did you try to find a publisher?
So last year I sent it to some agents. So, I have a background in literature, in creative writing, and so I know how to sort of find agents that way. And so I've sort of trying to, like, I have an agent for literary fiction. And so I tried to sort of go that route to find agents for sports writing, but I sort of, I did it for about a month, and then sort of was like, well, I'm just gonna self-publish the next one, because nobody. It's a really tricky thing, like, at least for the literary fiction, and maybe it's the same for sports fiction. Basically, like, you send these queries to a bunch of agents, and then nobody responds to you. And then if somebody does say they want to represent you, then you go back to everybody else who has, who you have open emails to, and say, like, hey, now I have an offer of representation. And that is what sort of motivates them to consider the book. So then they'll be like, oh, now that you have an offer, now I'll read what you're pitching. And so, I'll try it again this year. I'm going to try to get some stuff out, send books to some agents who I know are sports affiliated. So I'll try it again this year, but so it's another one of those things, like, every year the list of things to try gets longer as well, so I will try it again this year. We'll
Well,
see.
that's the basis of your experience. What was bringing the first one to press like?
Well, that was really, like, that was so I that moment I had a full-time job, and I was just like, can I do it? Like, can I wanted to see if I could just write the words. And so I remember, like, for Thanksgiving, this was the 2024, right? I remember, like, at Thanksgiving break, I, like, took a I'm in Blacksburg, Virginia, where Virginia Tech is, and they have a really nice hotel on the Virginia Tech campus, which is, 5 minutes from my house. But nobody stays at the hotel over Thanksgiving. Everybody leaves. So I went over there and I said, hey, can I just, like, get a hotel room with a desk for 4 days and, like, hunker down and write as much as I could? And so I spent those 5 days trying to write 30, like, drafts of all 30 team essays for that book. And it was just sort of I'd sit in the room and I'd write one. I'd be like, okay, I can walk around the room, or go walk around the lobby for a lap, and then write another team. So the first one was seeing if I could do it, and then what does it to get someone to design a cover for you? And so we hired somebody I'm sure overseas to do that. And then the second one, my family and I were we decided to travel around the world for a year. And so
Wow.
the second one was, can I write it while I'm also, traveling around quite a bit with my kids? And so this one, the third one, is the oh, I'm actually in my house, in my office, with resources and time. What can I do with that? So, yeah, every year is new struggles, and and I hope it gets a little bit cleaner and better edited and better, formatted. We'll see where it goes next.
So this, since this is self-published, what kind of editing process do you go through? Do you have people who look it over for you, or is this
Yeah,
like
so I had a
totally?
couple. Yeah, I had a couple friends this year volunteer to. One's an English teacher and one's a journalist, and so I had them. I get and actually, my brother also read some drafts of it. So I sent, chunks to each of them and said, like, "Hey, can you read this over?" It's tricky because I've had non-baseball. You kind of need a baseball fan to read it because
Sure.
if you're not familiar with baseball, you're like, I don't know what this acronym means. I don't know what this term is, or I wouldn't recognize this player's name is misspelled. So and the turnover has to be pretty quick because I only have this short window to write the book. So I have to sort of get stuff to people and say, hey, can you turn this around really quickly? Can you give this a read as quick as you can? Which is and I'm grateful for the people who raised their hands and offered that. But so yeah, that was the trial this year. The first 2 years, I was just sort of I'd print it out and try to look for mistakes in it. But it's hard because like going from the writing mode to the editor mode is really difficult because
Right.
if you
Harder
read something,
editing
you're
your own
like,
stuff.
yeah, like it's impossible to edit your own stuff. And so you get into that thing of like, I want to change that sentence, and it's like, no, you shouldn't do that. You should just look for errors. But I can make that point clearer, or oh, that's a different point I have. How can I add that in? So it's it's always a challenge, as
There
you know.
does come a point where you just have to stop and get it out. And as a reminder to our viewers out there, Bill James started self-publishing his abstracts. So you're following in some famous footsteps and hopefully you'll have the same success he had.
And I mean, and I don't have to staple them and mail them, which is nice. Like it is in a weird way, there's quarrels and qualms with the Amazon, monopoly, but it has made it very easy to sort of have it created and go out in the world.
So if I may ask your age.
I'm 46.
Okay, so I mean you're closer to my age than a lot of sports writers. So for me, as I find as I get older, it's harder for me to stay with the current game. The players keep changing. It used to be before I was a fan of the game, like way back, like 100 years ago, you would have a roster over the course of the year that might be 35 players. And now you'll have 35 players by the end of May. And by the end of the year, you'll have 70 players. And it's just harder and harder for me to keep up with who's who and what's what. Do you have any kind of fatigue like that?
I mean, I don't have fatigue in that yet. I mean, there's certain teams where you're just like, I don't know what to say. Like, I get fatigue with like the teams that don't seem to be trying anything, like the Rockies and the Marlins. Every year, their essays are like among the last ones I write because I'm just like, I don't know what to say. Like, you're not like there's no vision forward. You're kind of just slogging along. So I get fatigued with that. I try during the course of the year to just sort of like pick a team and watch, okay, I haven't watched a Rockies game in a while, or I haven't watched a Reds game. I'm gonna sit down, watch it, really focus on the players. So I tried and I'm pretty good at still maintaining who's on the ro like who the big players on the rosters are. But when it comes to time to writing the player rankings, it gets very like that becomes really arduous, and especially like this new trend of 1 year opt outs with everybody, where
Yeah.
Like you sign a 5-year deal, but actually it's only a 1-year deal, and so Bregman's off, somewhere else. You're just like, oh, it's driving. It makes it extremely onerous to. So I think next year I'll do a different structure for the player rankings just to alleviate that somewhat, because players are bouncing around from leagues and from positions all the time. So I'll do something different next year, which is yeah, but. There are moments of where I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding? I have to readjust the whole shortstop, tiers because somebody's gone over here and now he's a second baseman. That gets really tough.
Hey, you have a website for Baseball Obscura. Do you get a lot of feedback?
That's just sort of a landing page, for people. Like I write a newsletter periodically. Just to the people who have subscribed to the newsletter, I just write like periodic notes throughout the year saying, hey, I'm still here. I'm still thinking about baseball. This is an interesting thing that happened. But the website is just, I've thought about, expanding it to a more active space. But I don't, part of my motivation for this is to, I think a lot of people are doing like daily content and frequent content, like Joe Posnanski, a lot of other great people. Like, I kind of want to be the person who's like, I'm going to leave you alone for most of the year, and then I'm going to drop a ton of stuff on you, and then I'll leave you alone. And you can delete my email that you get sporadically. It's just a little notification that I'm alive. But yeah, I want to sort of go against that chase, just because I, in my own life, I don't want to do that. Like I don't want to be in those spaces where I'm constantly trying to generate content and I think it dilutes things a little bit. And the people who are good at it, Joe Posnanski seems like a like he just can't help himself. Like he's like, I have 3,000 words to write about baseball every day, and if I don't get them out, I'm gonna explode. And so it's great. Like I'm glad he has that space and that platform to do it. He's I think the best at it in the game right now. But like for me, I kind of like to think about something and have something to say, and then like not have to, and sit back. And that was a nice thing about when I was working for Bill's site. He never, there's never an expectation that I'd turn anything in ever. So like I'd have, 3 or 4 months where I just wouldn't turn anything in because I didn't have anything to say, or I was working on other projects, and he didn't care. So, and then I have a stretch where I'd write an article every 2 weeks or every week. And so, yeah, I appreciate that format. So, we'll see.
So you talk about Posnanski, and yes, he is very prolific with his books as well as his website and his podcast, which he does with Michael Schur, which is I find very,
It's great.
very entertaining. But I imagine now I don't know what his setup is, but because he is so prolific, he must get a lot of communications, emails, whatnot. And to answer those, I don't know if he does it all on his own or if he has a staff to do that, because that must be exhausting. The care and feeding of a full-time blog or website, it can be exhausting as well, especially if you're trying to, work on your next book project, to divvy up the time, and you have a family, so there's only so much time in the day to do these things.
I have other, I would like to also have that. Part of the attraction for this thing was like, if my busy period here is, October, September, October, November gets really busy, December, and then January, and then the book's out, and then I have this like lovely 6-month period where I can be like, oh, I can do other kinds of writing, and so one of the dreams of the structure at least is that like I can have this other chunk of time where I can pursue, creative writing, novel writing, and try to do a little bit more of that. And so that's the dream of it all. But it's been hard to execute. Like it does, this tends to bleed into it a little bit more, but, that's a juggling act.
Do you have any baseball fiction?
I wrote one story, I wrote one story that had, it was published in the Mississippi Review. I had one story that was very baseball centric. It was sort of one, but I tried not to write about baseball, but there was one story I wrote that was very very, very baseball centric. Yeah, I should post that somewhere.
Yeah. Who's your team?
My team's the Red Sox. But I often I'm very like I'm not a very committed part. Like I pick other teams that are also favorites or obsessions. Like, and when I was a kid, I was actually kind of a Yankees fan just because of Lou Gehrig for some reason. Like when I was a really young kid. But like throughout the year, you just sort of you generate affections for teams. So the Blue Jays were an affectionate team for me for the last couple of years. The Tigers. Right now, I really love the Arizona Diamondbacks. I just kind of think they're so. I tend to like glom onto a lot of teams. The Brewers, the Cubs. I want somebody in the NL Central to beat the Dodgers. So yeah, so I tend to be a little bit unfaithful to the Red Sox, but I still do. They're the ones who I'm like, ugh.
So this is a chicken and egg question. Do you find yourself attracted to these teams as a result of your writing about them, or do you
I think
find that
so.
writing about them is influenced by your affections for the teams?
I think it's more of like I'm like, oh, I remember with the Tigers, they sort of a few years when I first started writing, I think even before I wrote the first one, I was like, they had made some decisions and they hadn't come off well, and everyone's like, oh, this ownership group stinks. And I was like, I kind of like their decision. I was like, I kind of thought they're I forget what exactly what it was, but like it is that thing, like I kind of was like, I see what they're doing, and I think it's active, and I think it's with deliberation, and I kind of appreciate what they're doing, and I'm sort of rooting for that, that to pull off. And so I think it is more, observing something and sort of having a sense of it and being like, oh, everyone's saying this, but I kind of read it as this. I wonder if it'll play out. And so I sort of so I think it starts with the observation of the of you know it's just see something or sense something and think like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's been weird this year because like the Angels have had a really weird off season. I'm so pessimistic about the Angels organization, but if I wasn't so deeply pessimistic about that ownership group, I would have been like, this off season was really interesting for the Angels. But I'm too much of I just despise that ownership group so much that I can't quite like jump on board bandwagoning them. But they've had a fun off season this year, so maybe next year they'll be one of the teams where I'm like, oh, I'm coming around to you.
So this is an extension of the editing aspect. Since you don't have an editor at a publishing house to say, maybe you should back off on writing about the
Yeah.
Angels so much, and how does that work? How do you self-edit in that way?
I mean, I try to. I mean, one of the valuable things is like each team gets like, three written pages. So like it's like I can't. I mean, granted, I gave the Red Sox an extra 2 pages just to diagnose the Rafi Devers scenario, just because it was so interesting to me. But having just like a limit of 3 pages, like, every team gets the same amount of words essentially, and so. That forces me to think about the Rockies as much as I want to think about the Tigers or the Angels. So that's a helpful framework to keep me somewhat in line and somewhat but I think like one of the things that is enjoy I mean I hope it's enjoyable for the readers, enjoyable for me is that I can throw out an opinion and and maybe my opinion's wrong, maybe my opinion's totally off base, but like we're having a discussion, and it's more fun if somebody puts something out there and goes out on a limb than if someone's like, well, I'm going to be very objective about everything, and I'm sure I go off the rails on teams too much, but I try to be even-handed with it. If I pick on the one team this year, I'll try to be nicer to them next year.
Well, I mean that's what makes it unique to your situation. Yeah, you're writing, you're offering your opinion. It's not just a, let's say, a biography of the Yankees. It's funny. Earlier today, I was looking at this article from a New York publication about the 50 greatest sports movies of all times. So I'm going down the list. It's like a countdown, and it's all sports movies, not just baseball. And I'm looking at the baseball movies. They're about 10 or so baseball movies in there, and as I'm looking down, I keep thinking these are all movies since the 70s, and then boom, there's the Lou Gehrig story, Pride of the Yankees is in there. And I was like, wow, this is great, because I find that the movies, the earlier movies prior to that, they were, to me, they were my, these are the movies I grew up with. So this is what I love. Well, David J. Fleming, thank you very much for talking with us today. The book is Baseball Obscura 2026. Highly recommended, very entertaining.
Also, there's another good one, 500 books to read. Just check that one out. Very good. Excellent, excellent book. Thanks for having me. Thanks for all that you do supporting baseball writing. I really appreciate it. And this has been a great book to read. It's given me a list of new books I need to buy that I to add to my pile.
I
So appreciate it.
appreciate
Appreciate
that.
all you do.
Appreciate that. I thank you, David.